Now, I'm speaking at noon, and I just came off an incredible talk, so you guys have some things fueling through your body, but I'm going to need a little bit of help because I think that we have about 20 minutes before you start to become slightly hypoglycemic. And as a speaker, it's really difficult to speak to a hypoglycemic audience. So can you please stand up? Okay, I'm actually going to get you guys to just try that one more time. If you could sit down, please. Okay. Now, this time when you stand up, don't be like, ugh, another speaker is making me stand up. I want you to stand up like I just asked the first person who stands up with confidence, I'm just going to start sending you patients because I just don't have enough time to handle them all. Okay, amazing. And now that you're all standing up, can you do me a favor, Ian? Can you please smile? Force it if you're not happy or you're uncomfortable or you're hungry. I want you to force a smile because when you are smiling, you start to release oxytocin. You start to release serotonin. You're naturally happier. And when I'm a speaker at the front of the room, I want my audience to be happier. So now your physiology is starting to move in the direction that I want you to go. And the last thing that I want you to do is I want you to move your body in such a way that you feel a stretch. I'm not going to tell you how to do that because everybody's body is different. But I want you to actually engage some stretch receptors in your body. Amazing. So now we have endorphins that are moving through your system. Now I have an audience that is like primed and ready to go. And as a side effect of these hormones, we also have your blood sugar elevated a little bit longer. So we've bought a bit more time. Okay, guys, have a seat. So what we're going to talk about today is not just building your practice, but building your business. And I always knew I wanted to be a naturopathic doctor. I always knew I wanted to help people. And what we do, and the reason that everyone is in this room is because you wanted to help people, right? The platform where you're starting from is that you've picked an incredibly noble vocation. You guys are starting out from an incredible place. Now, what I want you to be able to do with this incredible, noble vocation is build a life of abundance. For me, abundance means three things. It means I'm consistently helping people. It means that I am making money. I know we don't like to say that, right? It means that I am making money. But most importantly, for my lifestyle, what it means is I'm creating more time so I can hang out with my kids, so I can hang out with my husband, so I can create a business that fuels my lifestyle so I can create more time to hang out with the people that I love. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how I did that and what you can do. And I want to start off by telling you a little bit about my background. And I put about us, not about me, because I think that we have this in common in that we're all here because we want to help change people's lives. And when I actually sold my clinic and tried to decide what I wanted to do next, I went, okay, this is really cool. I can help people one-on-one. I work with really cool colleagues who can also help people one-on-one. How do we help the world know more about what it is that you guys do? How do we scale the incredible nature and talents of the people in this room? And so where I started from and where my journey came from is that I was at CCNM, studied naturopathic medicine there, and then in my fourth year, we have the opportunity to do an externship, where you go and you practice with someone else outside. And I was like, that's cool, what do I want to do, where do I want to go? And it was very natural to me. I had spent some time in Africa. I'm like, I want to do an externship in Africa because no one's really done that before, and I think that would be very cool, and I think I would learn new things, and I think there's a need. And so my office mate, Erin, who's in the background, who became my business partner, she's like, I'll go to Africa with you. I'm like, great. And then we needed a supervisor, so we found a supervisor. And then we fundraised, and then we ended up in Africa for 6 weeks doing an externship, working with rural communities. And it's an incredible place. We helped people with hypertension. We treated injuries. We treated all sorts of cool stuff. This is a baby that we delivered. We delivered 4 babies while we were in South Africa. It was incredible. That's kind of outside of my scope here in Canada. But it's funny because I did this. This is a side story. And my best friend, I was acting as her doula, and she had a precipitous labor, meaning it happens really fast. And I delivered her baby on her bathroom floor, totally by fluke and by accident. But it was really helpful that I'd had this experience in Africa. So what happens in Africa, have people been there before? How many people have been there? Okay, so when things happen, we'll talk medically, but it's psychosocially as well. Everything in Africa is obvious. So If someone has vitamin D deficiency here, I know that because I ran blood work on them and I can see their numbers. If someone has vitamin D deficiency in rural South Africa, they have rickets. So things are more noticeable in that context. And what Aaron and I noticed is that when we worked in villages where women were empowered, and this is not our observation, there's NGOs founded on these ideas, when women were empowered, the health of the entire community flourished. The kids were healthier, the men were healthier, I can't speak today, it's kind of ironic, the goats were healthier, everyone was doing well when women were empowered. When women were disenfranchised in a community, everyone suffered. And so what we knew at this point was, if it's happening in Africa in a really obvious way, it's happening here too, but it's much more subtle. And so we knew that we wanted to build a clinic. We knew that walking right out of school, we wanted to build a clinic. I don't recommend most people do that. It was a little bit insane, but I'll tell you about it. And we built a clinic called the Integrative Health Institute. And we wanted to create a space where we invited people into our space to learn about health with no commitment to buy anything. So we had a big area where you could come and you could listen to lectures, or you could come to free yoga classes, or you could start to tap into health at a level and at a place where you were ready. And we targeted women for that, because we knew that women were primary influencers in terms of their family dynamics. So we did not exclusively treat women, but we knew that if a woman came in and she was drinking our Kool-Aid, wasn't real Kool-Aid, but drinking our Kool-Aid, she was going to go home and tell her husband, you need to go to this place. And it worked really, really well. And IHI has grown into a really interesting, beautiful space. And I know there's some people here who are affiliated with the clinic, so it was really nice to see you guys this weekend. So we're going to talk about a few things. I'll run out of time because I tend to be a talker, but I want to take you guys through a model that gives you the opportunity to ask the right questions. So we all should have gurus in your life, and one of my gurus is Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins says, the quality of your life is aligned to the quality of your questions. The quality of your life is aligned to the quality of your questions. So when we talk about defining your model, your financial foothold, and the blueprint for your practice, I've given all of that to you in the form of questions that I want you to answer. And if you can start to answer the appropriate questions, if you can start to move through that filter, what you're going to end up with on the other side is an idea that you can now monetize that's aligned to the lifestyle that you want to be living. If your idea you can't answer the questions with that idea might need to go back on the shelf. And I know everyone's super pumped and they've got tons of things swirling through their head. And they're like, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this. I want to give you guys a system so you can start to hone in on the one that's going to give you the life and the financial freedom that you're actually looking for. Because I think one of the things that we do poorly in this profession is we have an idea, and then we go to our angel advocates, and we're like, what do you guys think? And everyone's like, it's amazing. And then we go to our moms, and our moms are like, you should do it. And then 5 years later, we have an attrition rate of 75% in the health and wellness industry. I don't want you guys to do that. I want you to change people's lives. So let's start asking the right questions to get you guys there. My family calls me Dr. Killjoy sometimes, and you can see why, right? Those were sobering statistics. So let's start first by defining your model. How many people are clinicians? You're a holistic nutritionist, naturopath, chiropractor, whatever, you see patients in a one-on-one context. Okay, how many people in the room are looking to build up their client base? Okay, great. So either way, no matter what I'm talking about, whether you see people one-on-one or you're a trainer, you're building a yoga business, or you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, the principles are going to hold steady. Okay, so your model needs to reflect who you are. I think that this is really obvious advice, but one of the things we tend to do is we create mentors and these people who we think are amazing in the profession, and we're like, I want to do what they're doing. Marnie's doing something amazing, but it's not going to be right for everybody in the room. And that's okay, because we each bring something really unique and really special. So you need to know first, in terms of talking about the social support and what it is that you're trying to do, who are you helping? What population are you going after? Different speakers have said this in different ways, and you're going to continue to hear it over the course of the weekend. You need to know who you're talking to. On what scale do you want to reach people? So the one-on-one model, we're going to talk about why it works, but why we need to grow from that. On what scale do you want to reach people? Because this is really cool, right? I can do one-on-one business coaching, or I can stand in a room with 250 people. It's a new scale. And then you need to look at your personal and your family goals, right? Do you have or do you want to have children? Children are a game changer when you run a business, right? It's a totally different chaotic piece in your world. Do you want to travel regularly? I do. So I need to be able to create a business that facilitates that. Do you want the flexibility to work remotely? Do you want to make money while lying on a beach? Who wants to make money while lying on a beach? Who did not put up their hand? Okay, so if you're a skier, who wants to make money while you're on your ski trip, right? The idea with this is that you're creating passive revenue. You have money coming into your bank account without you trading your time for money, right? If time is one of the most valuable things in your life, please stop trading it all the time, right? And then you need to know what your personal strengths are. We're all different. We've all got different strengths. People always say, if you want to build a business, you got to get out and you have to public speak. It's a great tool, but if you are a crummy public speaker, it's not going to work for you, right? You're going to have to invest in some time and energy to be really good at that. You need to be able to instill confidence in your audience. Do you want to split your time between a team and working on your own? So do you need to work in a team? Some of us need to work in a team. Some of us have just graduated and we're like, I would like to work in a clinic for the first few years because I don't have a clue what I'm doing yet, right? My phone is buzzing. It's totally embarrassing. Stop tweeting me. Okay. And then you need to be honest around how you feel about technology, because I think technology is going to revolutionize how people access us, but you need to know what you're good at when it comes to technology. And then the last part here is something that I don't think we tend to think about as wellness practitioners, but I think you need to know and keep in mind, what's your end game? What's the point? Are you building your business because it's going to be something comfortable that you can have income coming in from while you're raising your family? Are you building a business because you love to build businesses? You find it fun? I do. Are you that serial entrepreneur? Are you doing it because you have a vision for how you want to help people? Are you planning to sell your business? These are all things you need to keep in mind. You don't need to know the answer, but you need to know that the question around the end game is something that you should have a look at. And in fact, it's something you should be mindful of as you're building out the structure of your business. Okay. When we are building a practice as a clinician, there are some traditional models that we can use to access patients and be able to help people. And I want to talk about those because we can't talk about the things you do outside the box until we acknowledge the models that exist within the box. And I spoke to a lot of practitioners yesterday and I was like, how's it going? And they're going, it's okay. But, you know, I need more patients. I need my clinical practice to be bringing me more money. I need more flow through my clinic space. And so there's lots of ways to be able to do that, and there's lots of models. But all of these models really require that you have people who are coming to your business. And I think the thing about the different models is that there's some myths and perceptions that need to be acknowledged in each of them. I started with the clinic owner one, not because I think that there's a ton of clinic owners here, although there probably are. How many people here own their own clinics? Right? It's a big deal to own your own clinic. It's a huge amount of responsibility. And I think there's this perception when you're an associate or someone coming in that owning the clinic is like, you're making tons of money when you're the clinic owner, right? Yeah, no, I actually didn't take any money home the first year I owned my clinic. Zippo. Took none home. I had to reinvest it because we had about $10,000 to $15,000 a month in overhead. Right? We knew that. We budgeted for that. We knew that was going to happen in our first year. But it's generally why I don't say you should start a clinic the second you graduate, right? Sort of an overwhelming number, right? But when you get there and you put the time in it, there's really nice pieces of passive income that can come in from a clinic. And if I hadn't done it early, I would have been reaching for this my whole career. So I really enjoyed it. It served what I wanted it to do, and it was the right time for me to step out. But the clinic model is amazing. It's high risk. There's high overhead, but I think there's a long-term play with owning a clinic. But it's an amazing platform to be creative, to do whatever you want, right? We knew when we were in Africa what we wanted to create, and we created it, and we nailed it. We did it. It was amazing. It took some time, but we had that satisfaction, so it was what we wanted to do. The next opportunity to work as an associate, I feel like this is the safest option for you when you come out of school. So although you might not be happy with your 60-40 split, and you might think that you deserve more, you probably do, you have no risk as an associate. Zippo. You've got no risk. It's a super easy way to start, and it's a way that you can learn from multiple practitioners. It's a really, really great way to get going in your career. It's limiting, though, right? You can often not set your own pricing schedules. You often can't create multiple verticals within the clinic about how you're going to make additional sources of revenue. So there are definitely limitations on it, but it is definitely a safe starting point. I'm going to jump to the fourth one, and that's a solo or home-based practitioner. And they're not the same thing, but I grouped them together because I ran out of icons. And I think if you're going to have a home-based practice, again, your risk is lower, your overhead is lower, there's lots of elements of your home that you can write off, there's a lot of distinct advantages. It needs to be aligned to the population that you want to treat. So you're not going to treat corporate executives downtown in your home. It's just not aligned, it's not on brand, so don't be disappointed when they don't come to you. But you're well-positioned to work with moms and people who are existing in the community. And I don't mean disrespect by that, but I'm talking about structure and function within your business. So the structure that you create and how you establish your business is going to speak to who the clients are who actually come and walk through your door. The other category that falls in there are solo-based practitioners, and that's what I am now. So I practice a day and a half a week, and I've set my practice up in an office center downtown. So there's a receptionist. It's a common receptionist to lawyers and accountants and all sorts of other people doing really creative things. I don't have to pay for a receptionist. And my patients come in, and they go and sit in a nice lounge where there's coffee and tea and apples and food, and I go down and I grab them when I'm done with my patient. My office is slightly bigger than this stage. I do not pay for more square footage in the downtown core than I need, and everyone books their appointments online. All my billing is done automatically online. I have Zippo in terms of overhead and things that I have to cart around. Now, you know what's really cool about this? I bring home 4 times as much as when I owned a clinic, and I work a day and a half a week. So sometimes we think we need to build big to earn big. Sometimes we need to build super smart and super efficient. If you lower your overhead and you lower your costs, it changes your margins. Does that make sense? Yeah. Lower your overhead, lower your costs, you change your margins. It's really important to look at. Every time you have a new business idea, I want you to stop and be like, is there a more efficient way that I could do this? Could I be leveraging technology in a different way to make this more efficient? If you own a clinic and you're paying a receptionist 12 hours a day, could you pay $200 a month to a reception service that outsourced your calls coming in? Maybe. Technology has done amazing things for us. You can lower your overhead. You get to take more money home. Who wants to take more money home? Not everyone put their hand up. Okay, you guys are at a business summit. How many people want to take more money home at the end of the day? Thank you, you have to. I don't care if you're like, I run a not-for-profit. Great, if you don't run a sustainable not-for-profit, you'll never get funding again. You want to take more money home at the end of the day. You want to run a more efficient business. The last one there is online, and I think this applies to everybody, because you can't run a business in the health sphere without an online presence. You can't do it. How many people searched for health-related topics last year in North America? The 3 health-related topics I'm thinking of are diet, lifestyle changes, or exercise. 46 million people put those search terms into Google. Are you coming up? And if you come up, do you look super professional? We all need to be online. We can all be found online, and we can leverage our time really well in the online space, and you don't have to know how to do that yet. But know that when we're talking about our boxes and how we get outside of it and how we scale our life, it's going to happen there. It's going to happen there, whether you like technology or not, because not everyone does. Okay, in your books, there's a little exercise, right? Everyone has a vision for what you want to do with your business, right? Or maybe you have a business and you have a new idea, a new vertical, as we would say, within your business, right? Okay. In your first box, what is your vision? Really quickly, this is a pitch, right? What's your vision? What are you going to do? Write it down. Write it down. Make yourself accountable to what you wrote down at the Wellness Business Summit. If you really want to be accountable, send me a tweet with your vision. Put it out there. Okay. Whoa. how do you monetize that vision? If you are confused by that term, what I mean is, how the heck are you going to make money from that idea? People don't like that, right? They're like, but my idea is going to help a lot of people. Totally cool. How are you going to make money from it? I'm going to help a lot of people. Very amazing and noble. How are you going to make money from it? How are you going to monetize that idea? Write it down. You might not know yet. That's okay. This is the first iteration of your vision. You've got to come back to this box. Your idea does not get to move further in the game of making it happen until you know how you're going to monetize it. Now, you got a vision. You know how you're going to make money. What problem are you solving? What problem are you solving? We're really good in this industry at solving problems for other people in this industry. And what I mean by that is we come up with these programs that we think people will love, and the people who love it most are other holistic nutritionists or other naturopaths or other people, which is totally cool. And your patients are like, I don't want to do that. I used to refer people to a particular nutritionist, and she called me up and she's like, I'm having trouble with your patients. And I said, what's going on? She's like, they're not compliant. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And they're like, I just asked them to make almond milk. They won't make almond milk. I was like, they're not going to make almond milk. You have to tell them what almond milk to buy. These are busy, busy people. If you can get them making almond milk by year four, like, this is a huge accomplishment. What problem are you solving for your target market, not your colleagues? What does your vision look like when it's scaled? This is that end game question, right? Moving you in that direction. What does it look like when it's scaled? There's this cool little restaurant that started in the food court in downtown Toronto. It's called Freshy. You might have heard of it. And the founder of Freshy is younger than me, much wealthier than I am. Because what he did is he went, cool, I have this concept, and I have these ideas, and it's validated. Now I'm going to roll it out, and I'm going to have a franchise. He's not just across Canada. He's across the world with Freshy, because he met his customers where they're at. What does your vision look like when you scale it? What does it look like when you scale it? I put this picture up because I wanted to put a picture up of a really happy practitioner who treats people one-on-one. Think how happy she's going to be when she figures out how to scale that model so she can make that money like this, right? When you're looking at building your business, and I talked about this a little bit before, one of the things you need to be mindful of is the structure that you engage in when you're actually building it. When we built the Integrative Health Institute, we wanted an integrative clinic. Everyone wants an integrative clinic, right? But what we really wanted was that for people to actually integrate. So we have four offices at IHI, and no one gets to keep an office. No one belongs to an office because we wanted there to be fluidity. We didn't want anyone to get to stay and hang out in their office space. You usually got to keep the same office when you came in on your days, but it was not your office. You came to the back room, and we redesigned the entire back room so that it was actually architecturally designed to maximize conversations. We created a structure that served our function, so that we weren't just saying we were integrative, we were actually integrative. Keep that in mind as you build out your model. Is your structure facilitating your function? See all these questions we're asking? Okay. Truth. This isn't a question, this is just a truth. The most limiting aspect of your business model is seeing clients in a one-on-one setting. Ouch, right? We're like, I haven't even mastered that, I'm still trying to get people in. The good news is you can create new verticals in your business at the same time, because it takes a lot of work to have bums filled in the seat across from you on an ongoing basis. And someone asked me yesterday, they're like, when does this marketing thing stop? When do I get to reach that point in my career where I don't have to market anymore? If you're a good practitioner who gets people healthy, ideally your patients move on. You're always marketing. If you are not always marketing, I'm concerned about how you work as a clinician. Right? Because having your patients come back month after month is not a good business plan. They should get better and they should get out. You will never stop marketing. Myth. Larger practices deliver a larger lifestyle. Not necessarily and definitely not when you start them right out of school. You can still do that. I think that's awesome. But know that it will not deliver your larger lifestyle right outside of school. Lower your overhead. Build your model. Build your brand. Do all the things that all these experts this weekend are telling you to do. Keep your scale as tight as you possibly can. Here's a thought for you. Why create a model where you're seeing clients 5 days per week when you're only busy 1 or 2? So here's the thing, right? How's it going? It's going really well. I'm at 3 clinics. Amazing. How's it going at your 3 clinics? Well, none of them are really that busy. But at least I'm trying to be not busy in 3 places, right? That's an important strategy if what you're trying to do with your 3 places is learn from the mentors and clinicians who own the practice. That is a good idea. But if it is, I want to build a business here, and I'm going to try building a business here, and I'm going to try building a business here, you're building 3 businesses at once. Try focusing on one. Try focusing on one. I don't want to work more than a day and a half a week on my practice because I have Bright Almond and I have other things going on, but I will never work more than a day and a half a week because I'm going to be building my brand and building my business and automating it and lowering my costs in the other days of the week because I just want to jam them in, right? Okay. Now, once you have a business in place, or as you are moving towards a pace where you are building your business, these questions are going to come in handy for you. So I have a lot of ideas. Entrepreneurs do have a lot of ideas, right? You're probably sitting there going, I left the Wellness Business Summit with so many ideas, I didn't know where to start, right? So before you have any new idea or new initiative that you put in place, you need what are called filtering questions to know whether it's worth your while, right? Before we even get to the financials of what you're doing from a business perspective, you need to be able to filter through. Question 1, is my vision aligned to my target market? I have ideas all the time, and I have to stop and be like, I don't treat that population, right? If you're treating moms and babies, and you have got a workshop planned on food introduction, awesome. If you are treating moms and babies, and you have a workshop planned on athletic performance, don't be disappointed when your webinar or your seminar is not full, right? Because your idea is not aligned to your target market. Make sure they are aligned. It's a really quick yes or no. Are we aligned? The next one, is this initiative fulfilling my primary lifestyle metric? Right? So this is super important for me because people call me up all the time. They're like, hey, Meg, do you want to be involved in this? We have this super cool idea. It'd be really neat. We'd love to have you. Da-da-da-da-da. And I go, is this going to enable me to see my kids more? Or is it going to take me away from them? That's it. That's my primary thing, right? Am I going to get to see my kids more? Is it going to help me free up my time? Or is it just such a killer opportunity that I'm like, okay, dear husband, let's talk about what this might mean. So there's times where you always bend your filtering questions. But if it's going to take more time away from things and I don't feel like it works towards my goal of where I want to go, I can't do it. I have to say no. I have to say no. Is my model or idea useful? Do you guys know what this is? This is a Segway, rebranded as the Segway Personal Transporter. Segway launched, and it's so cool. So if you don't know what they are, they're on 2 wheels. They have a gyroscope. I'm an early adopter. I really like technology. And I really wanted one of these, despite the fact that I did not know what I'd do with it. You stand on the Segway, and when you lean forward, it moves forward, right? Segway's like, oh, there's so many things you can do with it. No, you can't. It's not really that useful. Like, no one needs a Segway. I remember my grandmother lives in Florida, and they came to her community center, and they're, like, trying to sell all these 80-year-olds on a Segway. They're all osteoporotic. They're going to fall off and break their hips, right? They're not useful. Super cool. It's a super cool idea you have. It's just not useful. Yet. Play with it. Make it useful for someone, and then market it and brand it. But please don't make things that aren't useful. Don't make things that aren't useful. And then the last one, is this initiative going to increase revenue or lower costs? Is it going to increase revenue or lower costs? I remember a few summers I worked for our family business and I'd go up to my dad. He was very good at creating filtering questions for me. I'm like, I have a new idea for everyone. We was in transportation. And I was like, we should have a new programming for some of the drivers. And he's like, that's amazing. I think that's a really good idea. It's just not a really good business initiative. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's people like happier employees. He's like, we have no metric to tell us that it's either going to increase our revenue or lower our costs. If you want to put your time into doing it, you can look at doing it. But it's not a good business move, right? And that hurts us sometimes as wellness practitioners because we are so in touch with the feeling piece, right? It feels right to do that. I can help more people doing it. But if this is a business question, is it going to lower your costs or increase your revenue? You have to be able to put that in there as a filtering question. Okay, pull out your sheet. I don't think there's a second one. I think everyone can do this on their piece of paper, though, right? I can't draw, which is why even I keep my digital drawings rather simple. Okay. You got your idea. We've gone through that first set of pictures. Now I want to know, to whom is your vision useful? To whom is that vision useful? Who's going to buy it? Is your business or idea aligned to your lifestyle? What problem is it solving? This could be useful. You still need to know what problem it's solving. It's a lot of questions, eh? We haven't even gotten to the numbers part. Is this the most efficient way of delivering my useful product to the target market? I could do a live seminar, or I could do a live webinar. Is there a piece of technology that can actually make my delivery of my product more efficient? Did you guys get all that? Okay. I'm going to advance. If you need these, you can come and see me at the Bright Almond booth. Okay. Before I move on to talking about numbers, I want to just introduce some concepts to you guys really quickly. Because we talked about the box, let's get outside the box. Okay? Let's get outside the box and some of the things that people are doing. On the left there where I have people, these are like real people things you can do, right? So one of the models that a lot of functional practitioners are moving towards in the US is they're looking at membership-based practices. It's $150 a month to be in my practice, and there's all sorts of ways that you can access me as a practitioner. I'm not going to go through all of that because it's like a whole different weekend. But people are doing it, okay? There is, what is it called? I can't remember. Come see me at my booth and it'll come to mind. Really cool practice in New York where they're doing this. She's doing it really effectively. Telemedicine, right? As a naturopathic doctor, my license requires that I see people in my office at least once, but I do tons of follow-ups through Skypes and other platforms to be able to communicate with people. I have a patient right now in Pakistan, and we communicate via Skype. Telemedicine is really, really cool. If you're a holistic nutritionist and you do not have to see someone in an office, why pay the overhead of an office when you can speak to them through the internet? I don't know why you do that. I mean, some people like sitting across from people, right? And that's really valuable. You don't need to. You don't need to, right? Regulation is not always what it's cracked up to be. Okay, that's a whole other talk. We can talk about it at my booth. Group visits. Right? If you talk to people about the glycemic index 10 times a week, why not have a glycemic index group and make it a little bit more efficient, right? Run it once a month. And then we're going to talk about, and we have talked about, and other people have referred to this idea of creating passive revenue. How do we create other sources of income? Online products, a digital dispensary. How many people use HealthWave? Yeah, if you're not on HealthWave and you sell supplements, it's so cool. You just send people an email and then they buy supplements from you and then you get a check at the end of the month, right? I can't afford to pay the increased square footage that I would need to, as a clinician in downtown Toronto, to stock the dispensary that I would want to have. So although they're taking a percentage of what it is that I recommend, it's still cheaper than me paying the increased rent to house the dispensary. So I don't complain about what HealthWave wants to take. They've built a really innovative business, and they send me a check every month. It's really very cool. Check them out. HealthWave is a really neat option. And then webinars. Webinars are just, they're really cool. There's so many ways of leveraging them. This isn't a lecture on webinars, but they're a really neat option for you. There's tons of stuff you guys can do. Okay. Oof. Right? This is like the workout, and this is the part in the workout where your instructor is like, okay, I guess you guys are all warmed up now, right? Perfect. So this is going to be the really hard part for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to fly through this, and I said to my husband last night, I'm like, I'm going to take out the part about money. And he was like, why? I'm like, because I think it's going to scare them. And he's like, isn't that the point? Isn't the point of all of this is that you're grounding people in reality so that they know where they're at? How many people know exactly how much they need to make every single day to live the lifestyle and hit the financial goal they want every year? It's awesome. It's not the majority of people in this room. You're about to find out. So pull out that sheet that we had. There's a working sheet. I brought mine up because I want to fast track some numbers for you. I remember the first time I like did this exercise in a crude and dirty way, like not looking at your profit and loss statement and not looking at it with all your QuickBooks reports, but like just sat down on a quick spreadsheet and went, how much money do I need to make on a daily basis to hit the lifestyle goal I want, right? It's a little bit shocking, but it is so important that you do it, that even if it scares you, we're going to do it together. Okay, so just as a random fact for all of you, I filled this number in. Does everyone have it in front of them? Does everyone have a phone? Such a stupid question in 2015. Okay, pull out your phone and open the calculator app. Unless you're a math kind of person, which is cool. Okay, there's 261 weekdays in a year. Who knew? How many holiday days, days off of work, do you want to have in a year? I put 7, but I only see patients 2 days a week. But you can use my numbers if you want to. You can want to use my numbers. How many days do you want to just ixnay going to work and going to clinic, which is probably the only way you make money? How many times are you willing to do that in a year? I put 7, you put your number. How many sick days do you want each year? I've allowed myself to be sick twice in a year. This really threw me for a loop last year when I got appendicitis, but I fortunately got it on Friday, and I was like good to go by the following Thursday. I only missed one day. I was really pleased about that. It's like not a naturopathic lifestyle sometimes, right? But I made it. I made it into work. How many sick days do you want? And then how many non-client work days do you want per year? So how many days a week are you not going to see a client because you're going to work on building your business, right? If that is one day a week, then multiply that by 52. If you don't know where I got 52, don't worry, I don't want you to have to ask the question. There's 52 weeks in a year. So, okay, so what that's going to do if you total out those numbers is you get the total, or so you subtract those numbers, so it's 261 minus your 7, your 2. You're going to get your total non-working days per year, right? Sorry, the other way around. Add up those numbers and you're going to get your total non-working days per year. Just don't listen to me when I tell you how to do math. Right? The answer is 165 if you're using my numbers. Number of non-client work days per year for me was 156. The total non-working days for me was 165. Okay? If you take 165 and you subtract it from 261, you get the number of billable days you're working per year. You guys are like, oh my God, what is she talking about? Right? How many days do you want off? How many sick days are you going to take? How many non-client work days do you have per year? Total those up. Right? And we subtract them. Okay, you've got your billable days now. All right, now let's move into your operating expenses. This is crude. This is quick and dirty. I want you guys to throw these numbers in. Advertising and marketing, I pulled these off of my profit and loss statement from last year. I looked at it a few nights ago. $3,500 in advertising and marketing. There's a lot of things that go into that pool, but these are my quick and dirty. Zero on office equipment because I'm in an office center. I don't have to spend a darn thing, but that might not be you, so put your real number in there. Medical equipment, I spent $500 in the last year. That's nothing. Just be thankful you're not a dentist. Training and education, I spent $1,500, memberships $1,500, insurance $1,000. Put your own numbers in if you want to. $2,500 in office expenses. $15,600 in rent. If you're on a split, you can still calculate what that's roughly going to be in terms of rent. Right? It's the same number. That's all split is. It's just a different way of calculating rent. I think this microphone's doing weird things with my hair, but that's okay. Supplies were $1,000 and professional fees were $1,200. My annual operating expenses last year were $28,300. Add your numbers up really quickly so you know what your annual operating expenses are. You can do this for your business as a whole, or you can do this for your new initiative, right? You've got a number. How many people still need more time on their math? Okay, super. You guys are quick. Okay, divide that number by your billable days per year. For me, it was 96. My daily overhead in my practice, this is how much I have to make before I'm making any money, is $294.79. Whoa. That's really shitty if I just have one patient, right? Okay, reality check is not yet over, right? Okay, next section. What's your target income? How much do you want to make from having your practice? I just threw a number out there. I'm like, okay, I work a day and a half a week. I'd like to make 80 grand before taxes doing that. Why not? Don't put in 40 grand if what you want to make is 80 grand. Figure out how much you need to work to get to where you want to go. If you guys don't know your numbers, what are you going to do, right? Okay, I want to make 80 grand and I want to work a day and a half a week. Awesome. 80 grand divided by 96 is going to give you a number, right? My number was 833.33 if you are using my numbers. And then add your daily overhead to that. What that's going to do for you is it's going to give you your daily billable rate. How much do you need to bill on a daily basis when you're in clinic? I put 2 days a week for mine. I need to bill $1,128.12 to hit my target goal. What does that mean per hour or per patient? If I see 8 patients in a day, which is generally where I aim to go before I have total burnout, I need in an hour or per patient to be making at least $141 per hour to hit my lifestyle goal. Once you come up with what, let's go through it afterwards, okay? Because what this is really meant to do, the purpose of this exercise is not that we figure out your business plan completely. It's that we have you sitting in a moment of shock and awe, right? This is your shock and awe moment where you're like, oh, crap. I was so pumped after Marnie told me what she did, and now I have to make what per day? It's okay, you don't have to work 2 days per week. You could try to, this is like, I have to have 16 patients a week, right? Like, suddenly when you break it down, these are doable numbers. And maybe your goal your first year of practice is not that you earn $80,000, but it should be your goal by year three, right? It should be your goal by year three. Doesn't mean you're there by year three, but you need to set it as a goal. I want you guys to know what you have to be hitting on a daily basis or on an hourly basis, because you can go through all of the other filtering questions, but unless we know whether the numbers work, I don't want you guys moving forward with things, right? Or I want you moving forward with my one-on-one practice, but I had my holy shit moment at almost 1 o'clock on Saturday when I realized I need to really get into this concept of passive revenue if I'm gonna hit my goal, right? It's the reality check. This is kind of how I feel most of us feel about the money thing, right? But it feels really good when you help people, you do something noble, and you can get paid to do it. That is okay. It's okay. It is okay to make money while helping people. It's super uncomfortable, right? I know a lot of people are like, maybe someone else feels that way, but I don't feel that way. It's okay to earn an income by helping people. It's the coolest thing in the whole world, guys. We get to help people and earn a living. We have the most enviable careers in the world. Okay, how much time do I have? Does anyone? I have 2 watches on. I'm an early adopter. I've got my Fitbit over here. I've got my other watch over here. Okay, we've got, okay, perfect. We've got about 10 minutes. So now what we're going to do in 5 minutes or less is we're going to build a business plan, right? You guys are so hungry. You're like, if that gets me closer to lunch, then we're going to do it. On your, in your handouts, there's a, is a sheet that says your blueprint, your business blueprint, right? I don't have mine up here, but I know that it's there. All that is a series of questions. It looks at your vision. It looks at your financial models. And it looks at your promotion, right? You need to go through your filtering questions around your vision. You need to run your numbers. You need to run your numbers. You need to run your numbers. Did you get that? You need to know how much money you need to make on a daily basis to hit your goal. You have to know that number, right? And once you know that, once you know your numbers, once you know your vision, once it's hit all your questions in the top 2 sections, now we start to promote it. Please do not buy $800 worth of Facebook ads until you have done step 1 and step 2. or you are going to lose $800. And people won't want what you're selling. Because I suspect that everyone in this room has something incredible to offer. But let's make that a sustainable offering for the world and have it build you a life of abundance. Who would like to save the world and have a life of abundance? Oh my gosh, some people must be tired because we're at the Wellness Business Summit and not everyone put up their hand. Okay, I promise we're getting closer to the end. Let's start to pull all of these things together, right? You need to refine your vision. So the vision that you have this weekend is going to be different than that vision's going to change in the next month. It's called an iteration, right? You're going to sit on it. You're going to throw it out to some people. They're going to play with it. Put together a group who will give you honest feedback. Your mom is rarely the right person to talk to about your business model, right? She's the one to call when it doesn't work. But don't call her and ask her if she thinks it's a good idea, right? Refine your vision, talk to people, throw it out there, know who your target market is, and ask them what they think, right? Once you've refined your vision, you're like, I feel really good about it, that's when you start to put your numbers together. Your expenses might be much lower because you're like, I just don't have the cash to do that right now. That's okay. Put different numbers in there. Run your numbers. Know what they look like. These will iterate over time as well. And then the last one, once you've done that, once you're like, the model is sound, the vision is sound, my lifestyle will still be intact, now promote it. Now tell people what it is that you're doing. I have one last challenge for the group. I'm looking for a holistic nutritionist who practices in the GTA, who's willing to come up on stage and tell me in 30 seconds what their practice is about. I'm looking for one. Yes! Yes! This is awesome. This is awesome. Hi, I'm Megan.
I'm Dorit.
Dorit. Okay, I think the only way for you, the room to hear you, is you have to kind of talk into the side of my face. What? That was so much funnier. Okay. All right. So really, like, what's your deal? What do you do?
So my vision is to create an online school and educate parents about nutrition and holistic health.
I totally love that. I totally love that. That's amazing. Can you guys give her a round of applause? My last question for all of you is, are you brave enough to do it? Right? When you are building your business and you're building your passion and you are living your life of your dreams, you are always going to be on this side of the line of comfort. And if it's easy for you and comfortable for you and you're disappointed that you're not moving forward, you need to step over that bravery line and put yourself out there and try something new, right? Try something new. I was actually quite honest when I said that I'm looking for a holistic nutritionist to refer patients to in the GTA. So if that is you, please come and talk to me, of course, this weekend. I'm not going to have a platform like this for the next few days to be able to do that. I'm going to hang out at the Bright Almond booth of my name tag around, or you can always tweet me. And here's the way that we can actually keep in touch. I love social media. My Twitter handle is Dr. Megan Walker. You can find me at brightalmond.com. I'm going to hang out at our booth. And I want to thank you guys for being here. And I want to applaud you for coming, because you made a commitment to come this weekend because you wanted to move your life forward, you wanted to move your practice forward, and you wanted to help more people. And I fundamentally believe that when people are well, they can change the world. And I'm so grateful there are so many people in this room who want to help more people be well. Thank you very much.